We're leading up to Pentecost Sunday, which is next Sunday, as Marcel has pointed out. And all around the world, there will be people celebrating Pentecost Sunday. It will just be what they're going to be doing. And we never really celebrated it very much in the past because we're Pentecostals and we kind of talk about it a lot. But we are joining in on it, and that's why we're having some. You know, there was a good turnout in the prayer meeting last night. Probably most of you forgot it because we forgot to even mention it. But it was a good meeting, and we were just asking the Lord for freshness, that the Spirit of the Lord would really descend in our church in the weeks and months and Lord willing, years ahead. You know that there is an emphasis going on right now around the world to join up all the Pentecostals in prayer to plug into what, you know, the very first day of Pentecost, it changed everything. And now they're praying for a second Pentecost around the world. So this year, to talk about it, but next year, there's a worldwide prayer meeting that is going to go on for a week. It will pray nonstop around the world with all the charismatic, all the Pentecostal groups, and anybody else in the renewal groups and so on. We're going to be praying, and it's a twofold thing. One is for this church to be stirred up, and secondly, that there would be a phenomenal influence in evangelism for people that don't know the Lord. And I thought, boy, we're going to make sure we're a part of that, right? Just to be praying with all the millions. You know that Pentecostalism is the fastest growing segment of the Christian faith. People, you know, over Central America, South America, they're all charismatically inclined because that's the Spirit has been working in those countries for a long time. So here, it's only in North America and Canada where it's deader and dead, right? Really is, really deader and dead. And we have set aside the source of our power is the Spirit, right? It's not programming, it's not planning, it's calling on God and looking to Him for lives to be touched. So take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Luke chapter 11. This is pure vitamin C. This is such a great passage. I'll break in at verse 9. And I tell you, this is Jesus, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, he gives him a scorpion. If you then, you who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Could there be a greater invitation? Could there be anything clearer, more concise? He says there's an asking, there's a seeking, there's a knocking, there's a receiving. And he said, and then he tells the story of this father. What kind of a father knows how to give good gifts? Well, then how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I have presumed that we oftentimes do not have because we do not ask. But I have called this morning, connecting to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Because I am absolutely convinced in my own heart that the world needs men and women who are fully alive, who are growing into the love and the character and the lifestyle of Jesus. That's what it's all about. And such men and women are really, when you find a Spirit-filled mother, you find a Spirit-filled father, you find a Spirit-filled youth worker, you find a Spirit-filled worship director, you know that such men and women they're really powerful testimonies to the power of God's living presence, His Holy Spirit. There's something about a Spirit-filled church, for example, it sounds different and feels different. You just say, I don't even have to guess what this is. This is a charismatic church by the style of the worship, but also by the sense of the presence of Jesus. It's just something about it. I think that all of the important moments in life focus again on the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was a teenager and I went to this summer Bible camp, Somebody asked me, I'd gone forward, as there was many invitations to go forward at a week-long event like that. And I remember going forward, and somebody who prayed for me asked me this question. It's a good question. Owen, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? That was the question. Good question, right? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I had given my heart to Jesus. I believed with all of my heart that I was bound for heaven. I had trusted in a Savior who took my place. His sacrificial death paved a way for salvation for me. And so that was, in my mind, I had checked that off. Wrong way to look at it, but somehow, yes, I know the Lord. But he didn't ask me if I knew the Lord. He asked me if I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I said I wasn't sure, he said, well, do you want... I'm sure it was something, I don't know if it was exactly these words, but it was very much this, do you want everything God has for you? That's what the question is. Do you want everything God has for you? And everybody say, why wouldn't anybody? Oh, it's amazing. Well, I maybe want this, but I don't want that. And why do I have to do this? Well, maybe, you know, and so we've got all kinds of excuses and shufflings around. And I remember one person saying, well, I want you to pray for me that I will that I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, but no tongues, please. So this is not a deli, right? This is not a little bit of that, a little bit of that. No, I don't like that stuff, and not too much of that. And you know, I don't want it. You know, I don't want any tears. This is how I want it. I want it cut and dried, and I want it. I'm in. I'm out. And but I do want the Holy Spirit. Yes, I do. See, that you can't bargain with the Lord. And I think for all of us as a church, if we were to say, Lord, I want everything you have for my life. If it involves the Holy Spirit, that's what I want. If it involves this, again, the fullness of the Spirit, if I want that. If you want me to pray in tongues with heavenly prayer, Lord, I want that. I'm just open, Lord, I'm open to you. I don't want to miss anything. I want everything that you have for my life. So the reason then that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit is really not what we think it is. It's because God has plans for our lives. He wants to use us strategically. He wants us to be part of this moment that we're in, that we've called to the kingdom for such a time as this, and we need the Spirit's power. Because of his great plans, he needs Spirit-filled people. That's what he's looking for, people who are full of the Holy Spirit. So God, when we make room for him and a space for him, then we begin to experience things differently. And we see him at our work. And that's in the joy of being filled with the Spirit, is you see God at work around you. And I wrote this little line out here. We can expect great things to happen when God fills us with his Spirit. I think we can expect great things. And we ought to expect great things. Our level of faith can't be down here. Lord, I want to experience great things that you have every day. Now, it's amazing how these things come about. I remember praying for somebody, and they said, you know, later they said, not seemed much to happen to me. It was kind of a non-event. I said, no, that's okay. Don't worry about that. You prayed by faith. You asked the Lord to give you a good gift that he's promised to give, so don't worry about that. He said, well, there's not too much happened. I said, he kept being on this, but I said, nothing happened whatsoever. It just, he said, well, I seem to be reading my Bible more. He said, matter of fact, I can't get enough of it. I said, when did that start? He said, just after the church prayed for me. I said, that's something. This is something that came from the Spirit of God, that they, before they were kind of hit and miss, and now that they had this thing about the Word of God, I said, that's the Holy Spirit at work. That's, again, one of the many evidences when you expect the Lord to fill you. So a primary role of the Holy Spirit is always to point us towards Jesus and to draw us towards the truth of the gospel. That is the one thing we know. Long before we're saved, the Holy Spirit's already at work drawing us close. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He's not even, this is before we even know him. He convicts us. not even saved yet. He nudges us, not even saved yet. And all of a sudden we find that the Lord seems to, whether we wanted him or not, he seems to want us. And then we open our hearts, and I don't think you can do that apart from the Holy Spirit. And he draws us close to him, and we are saved. So therefore, something else has happened. And then we notice that after we're saved, that he wants to give us the fullness of the Spirit. And it's all because we said yes to the Lord in some way or another, and he began to work. So what we can discover is this, that we are to ask, and we are to expect that the Holy Spirit will fill us regularly, right? Regularly, even daily, as we are surrendered to God's plans and we're surrendered to God's purposes and we're ready to be obedient to his will. That person is on the collision course for success in the things of the Lord when you can say yes to all of those things. See, being filled with the Spirit is a natural part of the believer's life, as natural as breathing, really, just part and parcel. It's breathing the air of the kingdom of God every morning. And when we incorporate the disciplines of prayer and meditation and worship and surrender and scripture reading and listening, and we put all of that into our quiet time moments, perhaps in the morning with the Lord, it's quite a tremendous combination of factors. So whatever you are right now, say, Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit who's come within me, and I'm going to add prayer, I'm going to add worship, I'm going to add surrender, I'm going to add scripture reading to it. It seems to enhance the experience even more, and the Lord prepares us every day to fill us again and again and again. So one of my common prayers for my life, and I'm sure it's the same for you, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Didn't you pray that before? Many times, scores of times, over and over again. But I don't know about you, but it seems to me there's kind of like a leak or something. That what was good last week isn't good enough for today. Yes, that was valid. But Lord, I need, fill me today with the Holy Spirit. Knowing what I'm going to have, this challenge and that challenge and that challenge, and that's going to be, I know the enemy's going to be at work here. That boy, do I ever need to be filled with the Spirit. You see, it's not just one time we say, that was Women's Aglow. Beautiful. That was good, right? That was good. It was good at Kettleston Gospel Camp, too, or College and River Bible Camp. These are all good moments. Nothing wrong with them, except their history. You need to have something up to date that when you give a testimony, you're not saying, well, it was back in 77. Yeah, 77. I was filled with the Spirit. It was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. How about now? No, 77. That's where I'm planting my flag right there. That was it. Oh, give us more 1977s, What? So in other words, it's not current. And I want to stay in the flow, and I know you do too, of all that the Spirit has for us in this moment of time. So what would a typical day in the life of a Spirit-filled person look like? Okay, presuming that we all need to be filled afresh. Perhaps there's an initial time, but many, many refreshings. All I thought of it was like this. I'll just quickly buzz through it. You don't have to write it down until a little bit later. You might want to add some notes to it. But I think, first of all, the day of a Spirit-filled person starts with that person just acknowledging their sin or sins to the Lord and asking for cleansing. To me, that's the first thing that seems to draw my heart. Lord, I just ask you to cleanse me and purify me. Anything I picked up from the world, anything. You see what I'm saying is that seems to be the starting point. Where I was prayerless and careless, or where I was lustful, and where I was arrogant, or whether I spoke out of turn, and just, when you come and you're kind of conscious of those things that maybe needed just addressing. It's no big deal. Jesus has already died for those things 2,000 years ago. But what it is, it's bringing it up to date. Lord, I confess to you that I need you to cleanse me. So purify me, cleanse me. That's the first thing. Secondly, that you would surrender your life to him. Say, haven't you done that? There's a fresh surrender for the believer. Lord, I surrender to you. I did it in 77, but I want to do it in not just 2007, but every moment of every, I surrender to you. So first, an acknowledgement for a need for cleansing. And secondly, a surrender of our lives. Thirdly, to pray for the filling of the Spirit. again, to ask. Jesus tells us in Luke 11, that powerful, powerful passage, how much more will your heavenly Spirit give to those who ask? Oh, don't be stingy in the asking. Ask largely and boldly. And don't be denied. Say, well, I prayed nothing out. Don't worry about that. Just thank him and praise him and look to him, because that's where it's going to be, and that's how it'll be. Just by that persistent seeking, asking, knocking, that shows something. You know, don't just, because nothing happens that very second. You never know where things kick in. You just don't know. Fourthly, we can ask for the Holy Spirit to take control of us and to guide us. Isn't that a great daily thing? You maybe only have a few minutes left. Maybe you're saying, oh, I've got a lot of time here. So as I have confessed, as I have surrendered, as I have prayed for the filling of the Spirit, now, Lord, I ask you to take control of this day. This day. This is the day. This is the day. I know there's going to be challenges. I know there's going to be situations that will be greater than me, fear more, that may cause me fear, trepidation. But I'm asking you to control my life. Take control of my life. You could do that this morning. Just say, Lord, take control of my life. I can't figure this out. There's too many things that need to be figured out. And isn't there too many things? What about next week, next year? You don't know. I don't know. All I do know is that I have a chance to be refilled with the Spirit and for him to take control and to guide me. That's a typical kind of a day thing that a Spirit-filled person does. Next, a surrender, or just in a point, surrender often turns to worship. And worship sometimes is accompanied with tears. And I just think that's a standard thing. I think a Spirit-filled believer often has tears, especially after you've just surrendered and you felt, as many of you felt the Lord here this morning while we were worshiping. It's sometimes accompanied with tears. I don't know why it is. And that's why I worry for my life. If I can see weeks and months go by and I don't see, and there's no tears, it's just a dry, you know, nothing. I worry about myself. Not that I should be blubbering and bawling and falling on the floor and weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't think all of that's necessary. But I'm just saying it's an offshoot of it. When you surrender, it turns to worship, and you find instead of asking the Lord for things, you are usually saying, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for touching me this morning. Thank you for promising to watch over me. Thank you, God. Such a great God, such a wonderful God. And then you're worshiping, and then you find yourself wiping a tear. So people say, this is a really emotional kind of religion. It's kind of very emotional. All you people, why do you have to be crying and lifting your hands up? Because it's how we express what we're experiencing. And don't worry about that. I was telling someone the other day about Brother Pritchard, who somebody complained to him when he was in the Regina Church years ago. And they said, put a complaint in. They said, we're rather annoyed by Brother Pritchard and his weeping. As he'd read a passage and weep. Turn to another passage and wipe, get his Kleenex out again and wipe his eyes because he was so touched by it. And so it got back to him that he shouldn't do that. You can't want to bring your friend and have somebody crying. So he asked the Lord. He was kind of embarrassed about it. And so he said, Lord, take away my tears. Take away all my tears. I don't want it to be offense to anybody. I don't want it to be, you know, insulting anybody or making it hard for them. So take away my tears. And he said, the Lord answered that prayer immediately. And he never felt anything for 3 years. Never felt a thing. Anything could have happened. Whatever. He says, he told me this. He said, never felt anything for all that time. I just was going through the motions, being at funerals, weddings, everything, just nothing, felt nothing. Till finally I couldn't take it, he said. I couldn't stand it. He said, Lord, bring me back my tears. And if you know Brother Pritchard, he would often weep. He'd read a verse and wipe his eyes, so touched by it. So ministered by it. So don't shut off that emotion when it comes to the things of the Lord. It's part and parcel of it. And that's why it's so genuine and so real, because there is that element to it as well. So at the end of my prayer time, And as I leave to go about my day, and I'm speaking now generally of what a day looks like for a spirit-filled person. So what would you do at the end of the prayer time as you leave to get going with your busy, busy day as a mom, as a businessman, as a student, whatever else it would be? What you pray for your schedule. Always commit your... See, this is what it, this is being filled with the Spirit is a very, very practical thing. You pray for your schedule. Lord, I commit the schedule. I'm going to see these four people, or I'm going to do this and this. I give that to you ahead of time. And then we also pray for the people that I'm going to meet. And I'm not just speaking as a pastor, because you have the same thing. You've got a doctor's appointment. You've got a thing with the school. You've got to do this and do that. You're going to be here and there. And that's all part of it. And so pray for the people that you're going to meet and for the appointments that you're going to honor, right? You've got appointments that day. You are going somewhere. You've got things to do. And there you and you give that to the Lord because you're trusting that now that you have confessed, you've surrendered, you've prayed, you're open to the worship of the Lord, and then you're now praying for your schedule and you're praying for anybody who that you're meeting that day and appointments that you're going to honor. And you commit that. Don't in the middle of it say, prepare the day. Give that day to God. You're going to have a busy day? Tell God, say, Lord, it's going to be a really busy day. And I pray that you would fill me with the Spirit. Touch me this morning. And then, you know, even to lift your hands and to bless him and say, I thank you for looking after these clients that I have. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to go before me. And so fill me now. And guide me through this whole day and make me your servant. Isn't that a great prayer? Let me read that again. Fill me now and guide me through this whole day and make me your servant. Do with me as you will. And cause me to grow and to change into the likeness of Christ. See, this is a growth thing. It's not just a happy moment. It's a growth thing. Cause me to grow. Cause me to be changed into the likeness of Jesus. So I am a spirit-filled, changing person that people can see. And so, Lord, bring me transformation into my life and cause it, Lord, because of this day that I give to you, to bring transformation into the lives of others. How? You can't hang around a spirit-filled person without it rubbing off on them. It just will. People say, what is that? I say, well, it's just the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm a spirit-filled Christian, and this is part and parcel of it, to bring transformation, not just in my own life, but into every other life that I run into. What a beautiful thing. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. So, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, turn with me if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I think it's clear in Scripture, all Christians, have been born again, all Christians have the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells me that we were all baptized into one Spirit. So if you are a born-again Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. But not all believers have the fullness of the Spirit. And that's just a truism. It's just true. But not that it has to be that way, but it's true. So the admonition then, from Paul writing, he says, "It be filled. Don't worry about the world and what they're doing. You be filled with the Spirit, and singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Well, if I was open, then if that's a typical day of a Spirit-filled believer, what are the blessings? I could say, what are the benefits? But what are the blessings of being filled with the Spirit? Is there anything? Anything that would touch us and make us say, wow, this is just a great thing. Well, let me give you. I wrote down eight things. It could have been maybe 80 or 18. I don't know. But I call it eight benefits of being filled with the Spirit. And by the way, I'll maybe mention it later, but when I was baptized in the Spirit, it was no big deal. It was a kind of a non-event. I say that to encourage people here because sometimes they say, well, it's supposed to be so traumatic, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Mine was pretty non-eventful. I just asked him that when that fellow said, do you want all that God has for you? Yeah, I do. And over the years, I have still wanted that. And so just so you know that sometimes it doesn't have to be earth-shattering, fall on the floor. You know, because often we condition people to that. And I say, just be open. But there will be benefits. Here's the first one. Greater love and intimacy with God, for sure. Right? Greater love and intimacy with God. Secondly, power and boldness to witness and minister God's word. I think if you asked Nikki Gumbel, you went to England and asked Nikki Gumbel, he would say, oh yeah, that's one of the signs when we pray for people in the Alpha Course, is they have a greater love and a greater intimacy with the Lord, and they have a power and boldness to witness. I think, and you'd say, and anybody else who watched that, you'd say that's just true. Quiet confidence during times of opposition, you know, when there's this is happening and that's happening and all kinds of things are piling up. Just there's a quietness and say, aren't you, shouldn't you be worried? No, I'm just yielding to the Holy Spirit. Greater trust in the Scriptures. Whereas as that one person said, their Bible became alive, I'd say, yeah, just the trust in, say, this is the Word of God. And when it shouldn't surprise us, right, that the Word of God, the Spirit leads us to trust the Scriptures, the Spirit of God and the Word of God, the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Why would it be otherwise? That just seems to make sense to me. Next point, renewed zeal for evangelism. Yeah, that's for sure. Next one, deep joy. Yeah, singing and worship. Now, why do we lift our hands? We lift our hands because of what we call Davidic worship. David lifted his hands. So we lift our hands. He said, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. So we do. Clapping, shouting, kneeling, laughing, rejoicing, all types of expressions. But it does this. It's not just, how would I put this? It's not just getting kind of a happy glow on. Where, let's go, you know, we're Pentecostal, so let's be louder. No, that would just be stupid. That would be really bad. See, when you go into it, say, well, that church is really lively. Lively doesn't mean spirit-filled, necessarily. Right? You say, were you with me? It doesn't mean spirit-filled. It can just be loud. Right? It's not, there's something about the singing and the worship that sounds different and feels different. And it's not because it's louder. It may or may not get louder. It's just something about it. We say, we felt the moving of the Spirit. It was kind of beautiful. And that person, we could hear people praying. And you could see joy in their hearts. And we didn't say, well, let's sing that song again. Look, there's a bit of joy here. Let's crank that up a little bit. We don't want to manipulate. That is what I don't like about Pentecostalism, is working stuff up. No, let it be a result of, not something that, because of the Holy Spirit, there's this deep joy. And especially expressed in our singing and our worship. Not everybody's comfortable with it. They say, I don't like when everybody's clapping and raising their hands, and there's people crying. And I say, you'll get used to it, because you need to get used, because that's what they probably do in heaven. Maybe need to really do it here, practice up a little. So next, a greater wisdom and a faith, that your faith grows when you ask the Lord to fill you with the Spirit. And then lastly, point number eight, that there's a fresh love of Christ and love for others. I don't know if there's ever anywhere a spirit-filled church that doesn't have a strong emphasis on reaching out. It's not ingrown. It spreads out and ministers to people. And I say, amen. Thank you, Lord, for a fresh love for Christ and a fresh love for others. So, what do the steps look like? If there, I don't think you can actually say, it doesn't happen this way, actually. But there's no other way to describe it except by steps. I don't think it's that mechanical. I think it's quite, the Lord just does what he does. Years ago, I can remember a fellow that it was in this giant apostolic church, and they were, the visiting evangelist said, lift your hands and just bless the Lord. And so this guy had never done that before, and he lifted his hands, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't even asking or trying or looking or anything else. He went rushing home to his roommate, who I knew as well. The guy's having his bath. He's just getting going, and he's in the bathtub. And this friend bursts into the bathroom, sits down beside him. He says, you won't believe what happened to me. You won't believe it. He said, I was at church this morning, and they said, lift your hands. And I lifted my hands. Wow, I've never been this high for years. This is unbelievable. He said, I could feel like I could fly. And they said, would you mind getting out of the bathroom here? He said, sorry. He said, wow. And I think that's maintained in his life ever since. I'm sure it has. So you can't always say when things are going to happen. But anyway, these are steps. I mean, filled with the Spirit. Number one, I've already touched on them, but confess your sins and receive cleansing and forgiveness from things especially like occult, New Age, things that have a spiritual bent to it. If you are going to receive the fullness, you want to cancel out the occultic. You want to cancel out the demonic. And that would be a really, really, really a good thing. The other thing is, I think sometimes people with low self-esteem, they, in their mind, they're kind of behind the door when, in their mind, they think, I'm going to be behind the door when good things, I'm not good enough. You know, my life's been kind of chaotic. And so they say, oh, no. All you need to say, Lord, thank you that you love me. You care for me. You died for me. And I'm not going to be left out here. So I've often prayed with somebody who's such low self-esteem, they don't expect, they think that everybody else will be filled, but they won't be filled. And I said, this is for you. This is for you. Not the person behind you, beside you, but it's for you. So any of those areas, if you're someone said, I'd just like a greater infilling of the Spirit, just check to make sure you haven't been involved with trans-channeling or various kind of occultic things or false religions and things that that you've been involved in. So we must be emptied of things that grieve the Holy Spirit and displease the Lord. I think that's a good thing. Secondly, to yield every area of your life to the control of the Holy Spirit under the Lordship of Jesus. And I take that from Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Paul talks about that, about being transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So number three, ask. Boy, that's a good word. Just ask. Ask. In obedience to the command in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Owen, be filled with the Spirit. Yes, Lord, yes, fill me. Fill me with the Spirit. According to Luke 11, 9-13, Lord, I'm asking you to fill me with your Spirit. Thank you. So that brings me to number four. Give thanks. Thank you. By faith. I'm not going to worry if the ground's shaking or not. I'm not going to worry whether I'm speaking in tongues or not. I'm not going to worry about anything. I'm just going to ask in faith, believing that you've got good gifts for your children, and I'm going to be in lineup for that, this good gift. That's a powerful thing. So specifically to pray and to ask for the power and release of his gifts. There's an answer. Lord, fill me with the Spirit and release the gifts of the Spirit in my life and through my life. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment, whatever else there would be of those nine gifts in Corinthians. Just give thanks. Give thanks. And then, number five, expect great things to happen. If not today, tomorrow, the next day, but I'm just believing, Lord, if I've asked you to fill me with the Spirit of God, then I'm not going to look for, because so-and-so had that kind of experience or that person had that kind of experience. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to ask boldly that you might fill me with your Spirit and all of the things that need to go along with it. So expect great things to happen. Anticipate that the Holy Spirit will work deeply and powerfully, whether dramatically or quietly. It doesn't have to be dramatic. Does it? I don't think so. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It can be quiet. But it doesn't have to be quiet. It could be dramatic. We're just not, that's just a, not worried so much about this. But make this your prayer. When you, after you've asked, it says, send me and use me. Send me, and you say, send me where? Wherever you want me, whatever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. Just, that's what I, send me and use me. There will be people in my life that God's going to use. There's going to be people in your life. By the way, this is ordinary people getting filled with the supernatural power of God. So just be aware of that. Send me and use me. And so, if you feel weak, if you feel broken, if you feel limited, if you feel ordinary, you're just the kind of a person that the Lord likes to work through. Just ordinary people. That's the novelty of Pentecost. Ordinary people, average people, and God touched them and filled them and used them. So I would encourage you to enter in. If you do you want everything God has for you? Are you ready to be filled, empowered, released, guided, controlled by the Holy Spirit? And in other words, are you ready to receive the promise of the Father for the Holy Spirit? And that's why we've got a few minutes here. Well, that's why we have next Sunday night, is that the 19th? Yeah, next Sunday night, we want to have a kind of a workshop, really. Just invite everybody who'd like to be prayed for to come, and we can spend the whole night. We're not worried about it. We got lots of time. And I know I don't have to worry about Linda. She lives for this kind of stuff, just to pray for people and lay hands on them. So I'm just inviting you to come along. It's just going to be a great night. But we're just giving the Holy Spirit time. But even here today, it might be, maybe we just take a couple of moments. I don't know, Brother Richard or anybody else. If there's anything you just feel that the Lord wanted to add to what I shared this morning, just it doesn't have to be just Richard, but anybody else who wants to. Yeah, if you have a word, even hear a word this morning, or a question, or something that should be emphasized, we'll just be quiet for a moment. If not, we're just going to close in prayer. But just,
I think I could say, don't look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a goal, but rather as a gate.
Yeah, good.
It's a brand new beginning. It's a brand new opening to a whole new pastor, a whole new way of living. None of us should fail to go through that gate. Every one of us should go through that gate.
Amen. Anybody else? Caroline.
I just wanted to say there is nothing to fear because the Lord is for you and not against you.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? One of the things, I say, why do we believe this? It's in the Bible. Right? If we didn't have it in our Bibles, we'd have to worry about it. No, it's not in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And we believe in it because it's in the Bible. Secondly, we experience it, but first of all, because it's in the Bible. I wouldn't know anything about this if it wasn't for the Bible. Right? Luke 11, Ephesians 5:18, Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, Acts 23. Where do I get it? From the Bible. So that's a great confidence in my heart. I'm not often some Looney Tune fringe here, you know, making stuff up as we go along. It's in the Bible. Therefore, I want it because it's in the Bible. If the disciples needed the Holy Spirit, I need the Holy Spirit, right? You need, if the disciples, and that's the good thing, if the disciples needed the Holy Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit in that fullness dimension. Thank God for there may be people here today that he's drawing you right now just to the Savior. Thank the Lord for if you have opened your heart, now you're a born-again believer. That's the Holy Spirit. Now, step one more step. Just say, Lord, now fill me for my work for the kingdom. Send me and use me and just fill my heart to overflowing. So stand with me if you would, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Maybe just from inside your heart, just to say, Lord, I'm open. As much as I know, I'm open to you. I'm willing to receive all that you have. Send me and use me. How I need your Spirit for that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for every person here, those in the balcony, those here below. And Lord, as we've been said, not to be afraid. Fear not. Lord, you only give good gifts to your children. And so we ask, Lord, together, collectively we ask, grant to us the Holy Spirit, each and every one, the power, the fullness, the release, Lord, of your Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for the dynamic it brings into our hearts and into our lives. Thank you, Lord, you have kept my heart effervescent for years because of the Spirit. I thank you. And I pray, God, that there will be a real artesian well flowing out of every one of us. We thank you. We commit this service to you. We commit our hearts to you. And we trust you, Lord, for next Sunday morning. And we trust you for next Sunday night as we gear up for Pentecost Sunday at Valley Church. Lord, I pray there will be scores and scores of people who said, that was the time when I was powerfully touched by the Spirit of God. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you want to do. Thank you for touching my heart. And Lord, I want to be a Spirit-filled pastor, not an Owen-filled, a Spirit-filled. Lord, I need you. I need the anointing of my life. I can't do what you called me to do, and none of us can. So Lord, here we are. Here we are, God. We need thank you for this wonderful, wonderful gift. And we give you praise and thanks. You know, from the bottom of our heart, we say thank you. And Lord, we commit our day to you. Even, Lord, as an example of this sermon, I know that as we give control to you now, as we go about this day, or this Mother's Day, as we go about it, Lord, there'll be opportunities to be used of you. And we thank you for that. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for being here this morning. And encourage you, if you would like to come for prayer this morning, just please join us over here on this side. I'm going to ask Anya to give some guidance to that if people need some prayer here this morning. And if you'd like to have some fellowship, we're serving coffee over here on this side, so please stay for coffee if you're able to do that. The Lord bless you. Thank you. In the prayer meeting last night, probably most of you forgot it because we forgot to even mention it. But it was a good meeting, and we were just asking the Lord for freshness, that the Spirit of the Lord would really descend in our church in the weeks and months and Lord willing, years ahead. You know that there is an emphasis going on right now around the world to join up all the Pentecostals in prayer to plug into what, you know, the very first day of Pentecost, it changed everything. And now they're praying for a second Pentecost around the world. This year, to talk about it, but next year, there is a worldwide prayer meeting that is going to go on for a week. It will pray nonstop around the world with all the charismatic, all the Pentecostal groups, and anybody else in the renewal groups and so on. We're going to be praying, and it's a twofold thing. One is for this church to be stirred up, and secondly, that there would be a phenomenal influence on evangelism. for people that don't know the Lord. And I thought, boy, we're going to make sure we're a part of that, right? Just to be praying with all the millions. You know that Pentecostalism is the fastest growing segment of the Christian faith. People, over Central America, South America, they're all charismatically inclined because that's the Spirit has been working in those countries for a long time. So here it's only in North America and Canada where it's deader and dead, right? Really is, really deader and dead. And we have set aside the source of our power is the Spirit, right? It's not programming, it's not planning, it's calling on God and looking to Him for lives to be touched. So take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Luke chapter 11. This is pure vitamin C. This is such a great passage. I'll break in at verse 9. And I tell you, this is Jesus, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, he gives him a scorpion? If you then, you who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Could there be a greater invitation? Could there be anything clearer, more concise? He says there's an asking, there's a seeking, there's a knocking, there's a receiving. And he said, and then he tells the story of this father. What kind of a father knows how to give good gifts? Well, then how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And I have presumed that we oftentimes do not have because we do not ask. But I have called this morning, connecting to the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. Because I am absolutely convinced in my own heart that the world needs men and women who are fully alive, who are growing into the love and the character and the lifestyle of Jesus. That's what it's all about. And such men and women are really, when you find a Spirit-filled mother, you find a Spirit-filled father, you find a Spirit-filled youth worker, you find a Spirit-filled worship director, you know that such men and women they're really powerful testimonies to the power of God's living presence, His Holy Spirit. There's something about a Spirit-filled church, for example, it sounds different and feels different. You just say, I don't even have to guess what this is. This is a charismatic church by the style of the worship, but also by the sense of the presence of Jesus. It's just something about it. I think that all of the important moments in life focus again on the Holy Spirit. I remember when I was a teenager, and I went to this summer Bible camp, and somebody asked me, I'd gone forward, there was many invitations to go forward at a week-long event like that. And I remember going forward, and somebody who prayed for me asked me this question. It's a good question. Owen, do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? That was the question. Good question, right? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? I had given my heart to Jesus. I believed with all of my heart that I was bound for heaven. I had trusted in a Savior who took my place. His sacrificial death paved a way for salvation for me. And so that was, in my mind, I had checked that off. Wrong way to look at it, but somehow, yes, I know the Lord. But He didn't ask me if I knew the Lord. He asked me if I'd been filled with the Holy Spirit. And when I said I wasn't sure, he said, well, do you want, I'm sure it was something, I don't know if it was exactly these words, but it was very much this, do you want everything God has for you? That's what the question is. Do you want everything God has for you? And everybody say, why wouldn't anybody? Oh, it's amazing. Well, I maybe want this, but I don't want that. And why do I have to do this? Well, maybe, and so we've got all kinds of excuses and shufflings around, and I remember one person saying, well, I want you to pray for me that I will that I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, but no tongues, please. So this is not a deli. Right? This is not a little bit of that, a little bit of that. I don't like that stuff, and not too much of that. And I don't want any tears. This is how I want it. I want it cut and dried, and I want it. I'm in. I'm out. And but I do want the Holy Spirit. Yes, I do. See, that you can't bargain with the Lord. And I think for all of us as a church, if we were to say, Lord, I want everything you have for my life. If it involves the Holy Spirit, that's what I want. If it involves this, again, the fullness of the Spirit, if I want that. If you want me to pray in tongues with a heavenly prayer, Lord, I want that. I'm just open, Lord, I'm open to you. I don't want to miss anything. I want everything that you have for my life. So the reason then that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit is really not what we think it is. It's because God has plans for our lives. He wants to use us strategically. He wants us to be part of this moment that we're in, that we've called to the kingdom for such a time as this, and we need the Spirit's power. It's because of his great plans. He needs Spirit-filled people. That's what he's looking for, people who are full of the Holy Spirit. So God, when we make room for him and a space for him, then we begin to experience things differently. And we see him at our work. And that's in the joy of being filled with the Spirit, is you see God at work around you. And I wrote this little line out here. We can expect great things to happen when God fills us with his Spirit. I think we can expect great things. And we ought to expect great things. Our level of faith can't be down here. Lord, I want to experience great things that you have every day. Now, it's amazing how these things come about. I remember praying for somebody, and they said, later they said, nothing seemed to much happen to me. It was kind of a non-event. I said, no, that's okay. Don't worry about that. You prayed by faith. You asked the Lord to give you a good gift that he's promised to give, so don't worry about that. They said, well, there's not too much happened. I said, he kept being on this, but I said, nothing happened whatsoever. It just, he said, well, I seem to be reading my Bible more. Huh. They said, matter of fact, I can't get enough of it. I said, when did that start? He said, just after the church prayed for me. I said, that's something. This is something that came from the Spirit of God, that they, before they were kind of hit and miss, and now that they had this thing about the Word of God, I said, that's the Holy Spirit at work. That's, again, one of the many evidences when you expect the Lord to fill you. So a primary role of the Holy Spirit is always to point us towards Jesus and to draw us towards the truth of the gospel. That is the one thing we know. Long before we're saved, the Holy Spirit's already at work drawing us close. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He's not even, this is before we even know him. He convicts us, not even saved yet. He nudges us, not even saved yet. And all of a sudden we find that the Lord seems to, whether we wanted him or not, he seems to want us. And then we open our hearts, and I don't think you can do that apart from the Holy Spirit. And he draws us close to him, and we are saved. So therefore, something else has happened. And then we notice that after we're saved, that he wants to give us the fullness of the Spirit. And it's all because we said yes to the Lord in some way or another, and he began to work. So what we can discover is this, that we are to ask, and we are to expect that the Holy Spirit will fill us regularly, right? Regularly. Even daily, as we are surrendered to God's plans and we're surrendered to God's purposes and we're ready to be obedient to his will. That person is on the collision course for success in the things of the Lord when you can say yes to all of those things. See, being filled with the Spirit is a natural part of the believer's life. As natural as breathing, really. Just part and parcel. It's breathing the air of the kingdom of God every morning. And when we incorporate the disciplines of prayer and meditation and worship and surrender and scripture reading and listening And we put all of that into our quiet time moments, perhaps in the morning with the Lord. It's quite a tremendous combination of factors. So whatever you are right now, say, Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit who's come within me, and I'm going to add prayer, I'm going to add worship, I'm going to add surrender, I'm going to add scripture reading to it. Then it seems to enhance the experience even more, and the Lord prepares us every day to fill us again and again and again. So one of my common prayers for my life, and I'm sure it's the same for you, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Say, didn't you pray that before? Many times, scores of times, over and over again. But I don't know about you, but it seems to me there's kind of like a leak or something. That what was good last week isn't good enough for today. Yes, that was valid. But Lord, I need, fill me today with the Holy Spirit. Knowing what I'm going to have, this challenge and that challenge and that challenge, and that's going to be, I know the enemy's going to be at work here. It's like, boy, do I ever need to be filled with the Spirit. You see, it's not just one time we say, that was Women's of Glow. Beautiful. That was good, right? That was good. It was good at Kettleston Gospel Camp, too, or College and River Bible Camp. These are all good moments. Nothing wrong with them, except their history. You need to have something up to date that when you give a testimony, you're not saying, well, it was back in 77. Yeah, 77. I was filled with the Spirit. It was beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. How about now? No, 77. That's where I'm planting my flag right there. That was it. Oh, give us more 1977s, What? No. So in other words, it's not current. And I want to stay in the flow, and I know you do too, of all that the Spirit has for us in this moment of time. So what would a typical day in the life of a Spirit-filled person look like? Okay, presuming that we all need to be filled afresh. Perhaps there's an initial time, but many, many refreshings. All I thought of it was like this. I'll just quickly buzz through it. You don't have to write it down until a little bit later. You might want to add some notes to it. But I think, first of all, the day of a Spirit-filled person starts with that person just acknowledging their sin or sins to the Lord and asking for cleansing. To me, that's the first thing that seems to draw my heart. Lord, I just ask you to cleanse me and purify me. Anything I picked up from the world, anything. You see what I'm saying is that seems to be the starting point. Where I was prayerless and careless, or where I was lustful, and where I was arrogant, or whether I spoke out of turn, and just, when you come and you're kind of conscious of those things that maybe needed just addressing. It's no big deal. Jesus has already died for those things 2,000 years ago. But what it is, it's bringing it up to date. Lord, I confess to you that I need you to cleanse me. So purify me, cleanse me. That's the first thing. Secondly, that you would surrender your life to him. Say, haven't you done that? There's a fresh surrender for the believer. Lord, I surrender to you. I did it in 77, but I want to do it in not just 2007, but every moment of every, I surrender to you. So first, an acknowledgement for a need for cleansing. And secondly, a surrender of our lives. Thirdly, to pray for the filling of the Spirit. Again, to ask. Jesus tells us in Luke 11, that powerful, powerful passage, how much more will your heavenly Spirit give to those who ask? Oh, don't be stingy in the asking. Ask largely and boldly. And don't be denied. Say, well, I prayed nothing out. Don't worry about that. Just thank him and praise him and look to him, because that's where it's going to be, and that's how it'll be. Just by that persistent seeking, asking, knocking, that shows something. Don't just, because nothing happens that very second. You never know where things kick in. You just don't know. Fourthly, we can ask for the Holy Spirit to take control of us and to guide us. Isn't that a great daily thing? You maybe only have a few minutes left. Maybe you're saying, I've got a lot of time here. So as I have confessed, as I have surrendered, as I have prayed for the filling of the Spirit, now, Lord, I ask you to take control of this day. This day. This is the day. This is the day. I know there's going to be challenges. I know there's going to be situations that will be greater than me, that may cause me fear, trepidation. But I'm asking you to control my life. Take control of my life. You could do that this morning. Just say, Lord, take control of my life. I can't figure this out. There's too many things that need to be figured out. And isn't there too many things? What about next week, next year? You don't know. I don't know. All I do know is that I have a chance to be refilled with the Spirit and to for him to take control and to guide me. That's a typical kind of a day thing that a Spirit-filled person does. Next, a surrender, or just in a point, surrender often turns to worship. And worship sometimes is accompanied with tears. And I just think that's a standard thing. I think a Spirit-filled believer often has tears, especially after you've just surrendered and you felt, as many of you felt the Lord here this morning while we were worshiping. It's sometimes accompanied with tears. I don't know why it is, and that's why I worry for my life. If I can see weeks and months go by, and I don't see, and there's no tears, it's just a dry, nothing. I worry about myself. Not that I should be blubbering and bawling and falling on the floor and weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't think all of that's necessary. But I'm just saying it's an offshoot of it. When you surrender, it turns to worship, and you find instead of asking the Lord for things, you are usually saying, "Lord, I thank you. Thank you for touching me this morning. Thank you for promising to watch over me. Thank you, God. Such a great God. Such a wonderful God." And then you're worshiping, and then you find yourself wiping a tear. Not so people say this is a really emotional kind of religion. It's kind of very emotional. All you people, why do you have to be crying and lifting your hands up? Because it's how we express what we're experiencing. And don't worry about that. I was telling someone the other day about Brother Pritchard, who somebody complained to him when he was in the Regina Church years ago. And they said, put a complaint in. They said, we're rather annoyed by Brother Pritchard and his weeping. As he'd read a passage and weep. Turn to another passage and wipe, get his Kleenex out again and wipe his eyes because he was so touched by it. And so it got back to him that he shouldn't do that. You can't want to bring your friend and have somebody crying. So he asked the Lord. He was kind of embarrassed about it. And so he said, "Lord, take away my tears. Take away all my tears. I don't want it to be offense to anybody. I don't want it to be insulting anybody or making it hard for them. So take away my tears." And he said, the Lord answered that prayer immediately. And he never felt anything for 3 years. Never felt a thing. Anything could have happened. Whatever. He says, he told me this. He said, never felt anything for all that time. I just was going through the motions, being at funerals, weddings, everything, just nothing, felt nothing. Till finally I couldn't take it, he said. I couldn't stand it. And he said, "Lord, bring me back my tears." And if you know Brother Pritchard, he would often weep. He'd read a verse, wipe his eyes, so touched by it. So ministered by it. So don't shut off that emotion when it comes to the things of the Lord. It's part and parcel of it. And that's why it's so genuine and so real, because there is that element to it as well. So at the end of my prayer time, and as I leave to go about my day, and I'm speaking now generally of what a day looks like for a Spirit-filled person. So what would you do at the end of the prayer time as you leave to get going with your busy, busy day as a mom, as a businessman, as a student, whatever else it would be? What you pray for your schedule. Always commit your... See, this is being filled with the Spirit is a very, very practical thing. You pray for your schedule. "Lord, I commit the schedule. I'm going to see these four people, or I'm going to do this and this. I give that to you ahead of time." And then we also pray for the people that I'm going to meet. And I'm not just speaking as a pastor, because you have the same thing. You've got a doctor's appointment. You've got a thing with the school. You've got to do this and do that. You're going to be here and there. And that's all part of it. And so pray for the people that you're going to meet, and for the appointments that you're going to honor, right? You've got appointments that day. You are going somewhere. You've got things to do. And there you give that to the Lord, because you're trusting that now that you have confessed, you've surrendered, you've prayed, you're open to the worship of the Lord, and then you're now praying for your schedule, and you're praying for anybody that you're meeting that day and appointments that you're going to honor, and you commit that. Don't in the middle of it say, prepare the day. Give that day to God. You're going to have a busy day? Tell God. Say, "Lord, it's going to be a really busy day. And I pray that you would fill me with the Spirit. Touch me this morning. And then, you know, even to lift your hands and to bless him and say, I thank you for looking after these clients that I have. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to go before me. And so fill me now and guide me through this whole day and make me your servant. Isn't that a great prayer? Let me read that again. Fill me now and guide me through this whole day and make me your servant. Do with me as you will, and cause me to grow and to change into the likeness of Christ. See, this is a growth thing. It's not just a happy moment. It's a growth thing. Cause me to grow. Cause me to be changed into the likeness of Jesus. So I am a spirit-filled, changing person that people can see. And so, Lord, bring me transformation into my life. And cause it, Lord, because of this day that I give to you, to bring transformation into the lives of others. How? You can't hang around a spirit-filled person without it rubbing off on them. It just will. People say, what is that? I say, well, it's just the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm a spirit-filled Christian, and this is part and parcel of it, to bring transformation, not just in my own life, but into every other life that I run into. What a beautiful thing. What a wonderful, wonderful thing. So, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, turn with me if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I think it's clear in Scripture, all Christians, have been born again, all Christians have the Holy Spirit. How do I know that? 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells me that we were all baptized into one Spirit. So if you are a born-again Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. But not all believers have the fullness of the Spirit. And that's just a truism. It's just true. But not that it has to be that way, but it's true. So the admonition then, from Paul writing, he says, "It be filled. Don't worry about the world and what they're doing. You be filled with the Spirit. And singing to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Well, if I was open, then if that's a typical day of a spirit-filled believer, what are the blessings? I could say, what are the benefits? But what are the blessings of being filled with the Spirit? Is there anything? Anything that would touch us and make us say, wow, this is just a great thing? Well, let me give you. I wrote down 8 things. It could have been maybe 80 or 18. I don't know. But I call it 8 benefits of being filled with the Spirit. And by the way, I'll maybe mention it later, but when I was baptized in the Spirit, it was no big deal. It was a kind of a non-event. I say that to encourage people here, because sometimes they say, well, it's supposed to be so traumatic, that filling of the Holy Spirit. Mine was pretty non-eventful. I just asked him, that when that fellow said, do you want all that God has for you? Yeah, I do. And over the years, I have still wanted that. And so, just so you know that, sometimes it doesn't have to be earth-shattering, fall on the floor. You know, because people condition people to that. And I say, just be open. But there will be benefits. Here's the first one. Greater love and intimacy with God, for sure. Right? Greater love and intimacy with God. Secondly, power and boldness to witness and minister God's word. I think if you asked Nikki Gumbel, you went to England and asked Nikki Gumbel, he would say, oh yeah, that's one of the signs when we pray for people in the Alpha Course, is they have a greater love and a greater intimacy with the Lord, and they have a power and boldness to witness. I think, and you'd say, and anybody else who watched that, you'd say that's just true. Quiet confidence during times of opposition, you know, when this is happening and that's happening and all kinds of things are piling up. Just there's a, a quietness and say, aren't you, shouldn't you be worried? No, I'm just yielding to the Holy Spirit. Greater trust in the Scriptures. Whereas as that one person, their Bible became alive, I'd say, yeah, just the trust in, say, this is the Word of God. And when it shouldn't surprise us, right, that the Word of God, the Spirit leads us to trust the Scriptures. The Spirit of God and the Word of God. The Spirit of God and the Word of God. Why would it be otherwise? That just seems to make sense to me. Next point, renewed zeal for evangelism. Yeah, that's for sure. Next one, deep joy. Yeah, singing and worship. Now, why do we lift our hands? We lift our hands because of what we call Davidic worship. David lifted his hands. So we lift our hands. He said, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. So we do. Clapping, shouting, kneeling, laughing, rejoicing, all types of expressions. But it does this. It's not just, how would I put this? It's not just getting kind of a happy glow on where let's go, you know, we're Pentecostal, so let's be louder. No, that would just be stupid. That would be really bad. See, when you go into it, say, well, that church is really lively. Lively doesn't mean spirit-filled necessarily, right? You say, were you with me? It doesn't mean spirit-filled. It can just be loud, right? It's not, there's something about the singing and the worship that sounds different and feels different. And it's not because it's louder. It may or may not get louder. It's just something about it. We say, we felt the moving of the Spirit. It was kind of beautiful. And that person, we could hear people praying. And you could see joy in their hearts. And we didn't say, well, let's sing that song again. Look, there's a bit of joy here. Let's crank that up a little bit. We don't want to manipulate. That is what I don't like about Pentecostalism, is working stuff up. No, let it be a result of, not something that, because of the Holy Spirit, there's this deep joy. And especially expressed in our singing and our worship. Not everybody's comfortable with it. They say, I don't like when everybody's clapping and raising their hands, and there's people crying. And I say, you'll get used to it, because you need to get used, because that's what they probably do in heaven. Maybe need to really do it here. Practice up a little. So next, a greater wisdom and a faith, that your faith grows when you ask the Lord to fill you with the Spirit. And then lastly, point number 8, that there's a fresh love of Christ and love for others. I don't know if there's ever anywhere a spirit-filled church that doesn't have a strong emphasis on reaching out. It's not ingrown. It spreads out and ministers to people. And I say, amen, thank you, Lord, for a fresh love for Christ and a fresh love for others. So what do the steps look like? I don't think you can actually say, it doesn't happen this way actually, but there's no other way to describe it except by steps. I don't think it's that mechanical. I think it's quite, the Lord just does what he does. Back years ago, I can remember a fellow that it was in this Regina Apostolic Church, and the visiting evangelist said, lift your hands and just bless the Lord. And so this guy had never done that before, and he lifted his hands, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He wasn't even asking or trying or looking or anything else. He went rushing home to his roommate, who I knew as well. And the guy's having his bath. He's just getting going, and he's in the bathtub. And this friend bursts into the bathroom, sits down beside him. He says, you won't believe what happened to me. You won't believe it. He said, I was at church this morning, and they said, lift your hands. And I lifted my hands. Wow, I've never been this high for years. This is unbelievable. He said, I could feel like I could fly. And they said, would you mind getting out of the bathroom here? He said, sorry. He said, wow. And I think that's maintained in his life ever since. I'm sure it has. So you can't always say when things are going to happen. But anyway, these are steps to be filled with the Spirit. Number one, I've already touched on them, but confess your sins and receive cleansing and forgiveness from things especially like occult, New Age, things that have a spiritual bent to it, if you are going to receive the fullness, you want to cancel out the occultic. You want to cancel out the demonic. And that would be a really, really a good thing. The other thing is, I think sometimes people with low self-esteem, they, in their mind, they're kind of behind the door when, in their mind, they think, I'm going to be behind the door when good things, I'm not good enough. You know, my life's been kind of chaotic. And so they say, oh, no. All you need to say, Lord, thank you that you love me. You care for me. You died for me. And I'm not going to be left out here. So I've often prayed with somebody who's such low self-esteem, they don't expect, they think that everybody else will be filled, but they won't be filled. And I said, this is for you. This is for you. Not the person behind you or beside you, but it's for you. So any of those areas, if you're someone said, I'd just like a greater infilling of the Spirit, just check to make sure you haven't been involved with trans-channeling or various kind of occultic things or false religions and things that that you've been involved in. So we must be emptied of things that grieve the Holy Spirit and displease the Lord. I think that's really a good thing. Secondly, to yield every area of your life to the control of the Holy Spirit under the Lordship of Jesus. And I take that from Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Paul talks about that, about being transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So number three, ask. Boy, that's a good word. Just ask. Ask. In obedience to the command in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Owen, be filled with the Spirit. Yes, Lord, yes, fill me. Fill me with the Spirit. According to Luke 11, 9-13, Lord, I'm asking you to fill me with your Spirit. Thank you. So that brings me to number four. Give thanks. Thank you, by faith. I'm not going to worry if the ground's shaking or not. I'm not going to worry whether I'm speaking in tongues or not. I'm not going to worry about anything. I'm just going to ask in faith, believing that you've got good gifts for your children, and I'm going to be in line up for that, this good gift. That's a powerful thing. So specifically to pray and to ask for the power and release of his gifts. There's an answer. Lord, fill me with the Spirit and release the gifts of the Spirit in my life and through my life. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discernment, whatever else there would be of those nine gifts in Corinthians. Just give thanks. Give thanks. And then, number five, expect great things to happen. If not today, tomorrow, the next day, but I'm just believing, Lord, if I've asked you to fill me with the Spirit of God, then I'm not going to look for, because so-and-so had that kind of experience or that person had that kind of experience. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to ask you, I'm going to ask boldly that you might fill me with your Spirit and all of the things that need to go along with it. So expect great things to happen. Anticipate that the Holy Spirit will work deeply and powerfully, whether dramatically or quietly. It doesn't have to be dramatic. Does it? I don't think so. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It can be quiet. But it doesn't have to be quiet. It could be dramatic. We're just not, that's just a, not worried so much about this. But make this your prayer. When you, after you've asked, it says, send me and use me. Send me. And you say, send me where? Wherever you want me, whatever you want me to go. Whatever you want me to do. Just, that's what I, send me and use me. There will be people in my life that God's going to use. There's going to be people in your life. By the way, this is ordinary people getting filled with the supernatural power of God. So just be aware of that. Send me and use me. And so if you feel weak, if you feel broken, if you feel limited, if you feel ordinary, you're just the kind of a person that the Lord likes to work through. Just ordinary people. That's the novelty of Pentecost. Ordinary people, average people, and God touched them and filled them and used them. So I would encourage you to enter in. If you, do you want everything God has for you? Are you ready to be filled, empowered, released, guided, controlled by the Holy Spirit? And in other words, are you ready to receive the promise of the Father for the Holy Spirit? And that's why we've got a few minutes here. Well, that's why we have next Sunday night, is that the 19th? Yeah, next Sunday night, we want to have a kind of a workshop, really. Just invite everybody who'd like to be prayed for to come, and we can spend the whole night. We're not worried about it. We got lots of time. And I know I don't have to worry about Linda. She lives for this kind of stuff, just to pray for people and lay hands on them. So I'm just inviting you to come along. It's just going to be a great night. But we're just giving the Holy Spirit time. But even here today, it might be, maybe we just take a couple of moments. I don't know, Brother Richard or anybody else. If there's anything you just feel that the Lord wanted to add to what I shared this morning, just, it doesn't have to be just Richard, but anybody else who wants to. Yeah, if you have a word, even hear a word this morning, or a question, or something that should be emphasized, we'll just be quiet for a moment. If not, we're just going to close in prayer. But just,
I think I could say, don't look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit as a goal, but rather as a gate.
Yeah, good.
It's a brand new beginning. It's a brand new opening to a whole new pastor, a whole new way of living. None of us should fail to go through that gate. Every one of us should go through that gate.
Amen. Anybody else? Caroline.
I just wanted to say there is nothing to fear about because the Lord is for you and not against you.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? One of the things, I say, why do we believe this? It's in the Bible. Right? If we didn't have it in our Bibles, we'd have to worry about it. No, it's not in the Bible. It's in the Bible. And we believe in it because it's in the Bible. Secondly, we experience it, but first of all, because it's in the Bible. I wouldn't know anything about this if it wasn't for the Bible. Right? Luke 11, Ephesians 5:18, Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, Acts 23. Where do I get it? From the Bible. So that's a great confidence in my heart. I'm not often some Looney Tune fringe here, you know, making stuff up as we go along. It's in the Bible. Therefore, I want it because it's in the Bible. If the disciples needed the Holy Spirit, I need the Holy Spirit, right? You need, if the disciples, and that's the good thing, if the disciples needed the Holy Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit in that fullness dimension. Thank God for, there may be people here today that he's drawing you right now just to the Savior. Thank the Lord for, if you have opened your heart, now you're a born-again believer, that's the Holy Spirit. Now, step one more step. Just say, Lord, now fill me for my work for the kingdom. Send me and use me and just fill my heart to overflowing. So stand with me if you would, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Maybe just from inside your heart, just to say, Lord, I'm open. As much as I know, I'm open to you. I'm willing to receive all that you have. Send me and use me. How I need your Spirit for that. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for every person here, those in the balcony, those here below. And Lord, as we've been said, not to be afraid. Fear not. Lord, you only give good gifts to your children. And so we ask, Lord, together, collectively we ask, grant to us the Holy Spirit, each and every one, the power, the fullness, the release, Lord, of your Spirit. Thank you. Thank you for the dynamic it brings into our hearts and into our lives. Thank you, Lord, you have kept my heart effervescent for years because of the Spirit. I thank you, and I pray, God, that there will be a real artesian well flowing out of every one of us. We thank you. We commit this service to you. We commit our hearts to you. And we trust you, Lord, for next Sunday morning. And we trust you for next Sunday night as we gear up for Pentecost Sunday at Valley Church. Lord, I pray there will be scores and scores of people who said, that was the time when I was powerfully touched by the Spirit of God. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you want to do. Thank you for touching my heart. And Lord, I want to be a Spirit-filled pastor, not an Owen-filled, a Spirit-filled. Lord, I need you. I need the anointing of my life. I can't do what you called me to do, and none of us can. So Lord, here we are. Here we are, God. We need thank you for this wonderful, wonderful gift. And we give you praise and thanks. You know, from the bottom of our heart, we say thank you. And Lord, we commit our day to you. Even, Lord, as an example of this sermon, I know that as we give control to you now, as we go about this day, or this Mother's Day, as we go about it, Lord, there'll be opportunities to be used of you. And we thank you for that. And we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for being here this morning. And encourage you, if you would like to come for prayer this morning, just please join us over here on this side. I'm going to ask Anya to give some guidance to that if people need some prayer here this morning. And if you would like to have some fellowship, we're serving coffee over here on this side. So please stay for coffee if you're able to do that. The Lord bless you. Thank you.